from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Adam Spillane in for Sean Pendergast. Seth Payne is here. Some breaking news out of the NFL. Tristan Wirfs, the offensive tackle from Tampa Bay, reportedly has agreed on a 5-year, $140.6 million extension. I believe 88, I believe, of that is guaranteed. So Laremy Tunsil, no longer the highest paid offensive lineman in the NFL.
Oh, I wonder if we're going to get a Laremy Tunsil side-eye emoji like he tends to do after some of these big contracts. We'll see. We've got Trent Williams is holding out with 3 years remaining on his contract in San Francisco at the age of like 53 or however old he is. Does Laremy Tunsil all of a sudden start withholding his services? Which he is already withholding, but it's because he's rehabbing a knee and knee surgery. But still, does he withhold his services, or does this knee recovery end up taking longer?
I think he waits a year. Yeah. I think after this season, that's when he looks for the renegotiation.
I'll tell you what, that's one that the battle of public opinion will not be on his side in Houston, I don't think. Unless he makes a miraculous recovery in terms of false starts. The false starts are not as big a deal as it feels like, but man, people are not happy with the false starts because a lot of his false starts happen on critical drives. They happen in the fourth quarter. They're the most frustrating false starts ever. And if he doesn't pick it up in the run blocking, then he's not as good a complete overall offensive tackle as Trent Williams. He's got to be as good at run blocking as he is at pass blocking.
I get that, but don't let CJ Stroud get hit. That's your job.
First and foremost, that's the big deal.
That's the most important part of the job. Jeffrey Simmons, a couple days ago, went off on a radio host in Nashville. It's Buck. What's his last name?
Buck Reising.
Yes, Buck Reising went off on him. I guess Reising had a tweet in practice that Simmons had he basically said that Simmons was being sloppy because he had started, I guess there were a couple of little scuffles during a Titans practice, which again happens at this part of camp. Simmons took exception to it, and so they were broadcasting at Titans camp, and so they're on the air and they're about to do an interview with another Titans player,
Roger McCrary.
Yes, and so then Jeffrey Simmons comes over and he gives his opinion to good old Buck.
Well, Jeff, you want to sit down? We can talk whenever you want to talk, Jeff. We'll deal with that later. Roger McCreary sitting down with us here on 104.5 The Zone. Jeff, I mean, we're on the air right now.
You do a lot of talking on social media.
I'm right here, Jeff. We can talk anytime you want to. Unbelievable.
We got
to
make that happen.
Well, we'll deal with that later on. Roger McCreary sitting down with us here on 104.5 The Zone.
Yeah. Called him up. A bad word that I found out yesterday you're allowed to put on the radio, but whatever.
I hope that's right, by the way.
Yeah. No, Sean's almost never wrong about stuff. I mean, like, opinion-based all the time when he disagrees with me. But factually, he's pretty good on that stuff. So, it was interesting.
So then yesterday, Jeffrey Simmons was probably wrong in that. I don't know if you thought that he was wrong with that whole thing.
I would say I don't know how much goes into it or behind it or how often the Buck Riesing has, you know, tweeted about him or something. But, yeah, he probably should have handled it differently.
I will say this has to be tough for you because you are a player. You're a former player, former defensive tackle. So do you take the side of the defensive tackle or do you take the side of the radio host because you're both?
I take the side of the way Jeffrey Simmons probably felt. Because now I just would recommend he not handle it that way. I mean, that's the kind of thing you can go approach a writer at any time, you know, and guys will do that. You'll go up to a writer and say, hey, man, listen, I disagree with what you wrote. This is actually what happened or whatever. Because as a player, there's so many times where the observers are just wrong in their assessment of what happened. You know, like there's times where and even, you know, former players who are really bright guys, when they're watching the film and they don't know what the game plan is or whatever it might be, they're wrong a good amount of the time about whose fault a given play was. Because a lot of times a guy that looks like he's wrong was actually just trying to make up for somebody else's mistake. You know, a safety screws up a coverage and a cornerback's running to try to correct it. And so he gets the blame. And it's frustrating. It's really, really frustrating because you're seeing in headlines, okay, either this guy started this or this guy screwed that up. But it's not anything that you can't rectify just by going and talking to the person when they're not on a hot mic or when you're not maybe like threatening to actually fight him or something or trying to intimidate him.
I think that's probably one of the biggest changes in all sports right now, especially in the NFL, because everybody has access to the All 22. And yeah. So anybody can take a play on it from the All 22 and break it down and think that they know what they're talking about. But most people have no idea what they're talking about, not because they don't know what's happening on the play, but like you said, they don't know what the responsibility was of the player on this play.
Yeah, I'll give you an example. Was when C.J. Stroud threw that interception in the Patriots preseason game last year. I watched Kurt Warner break it down, and like Kurt obviously knows what the hell he's talking about, and he wasn't hypercritical of C.J. He was just a rookie quarterback. But Kurt's reading of it was that the safety had been showing cover two, and C.J. didn't realize it and threw a pass when he shouldn't have. When in fact that safety was showing cover two, I don't want to get too technical about it. Basically, he was able to disguise the coverage really well, and he was actually in man coverage on the linebacker, and that's why CJ got duped. And it was still,
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Yeah. The quarterback getting duped, but it was for different reasons than Kurt thought. And Kurt basically, like any quarterback, just sometimes doesn't realize that the defensive players are smarter than they want to assume we are. So yeah, and it wasn't a big deal. It wasn't like he was crushing CJ or anything, but it's frustrating. It's really frustrating as a player. A lot of times, like with defensive linemen especially, you know, they'll get blamed for not stopping the run. And you know that, and this is where sometimes you can't even go have the conversation with a writer because they're blaming the defensive line for not stopping the run when really two of your linebackers played atrociously. But you can't go up to the writer, or at least you shouldn't. You shouldn't go up to the writer and say, hey, by the way, it was my teammates. I'm selling them out in defending myself. So you just got to, and this is why tuning out the noise and staying the hell off of social media, first and foremost, is what more players need to do. Like, that stuff's going to be said responsibly, irresponsibly, wrong, right. They're going to heap praise on you when they shouldn't be heaping praise on you. They're just going to be wrong a lot. And you can't try to fight those battles because it just doesn't. It's hard to fight those battles without selling out your teammates. So the best thing is to just, as much as possible, remain ignorant to all of it and know that the people that are the decision makers on the team actually know what's going on.
So Jeffrey Simmons did apologize to Reesing personally, and then he did so again after practice publicly.
We all know what happened yesterday. A lot of y'all have been here since I've been here, so y'all know me. That's not who I am. That's not who I want to be seen as. I talked to Buck. We have an understanding. I have an understanding where I'm coming from. I have an understanding where he's coming from. He have a job. I have a job. At the end of the day, I take full accountability of my actions on the field. I mean, that'll never happen again with me. Like I said, I always talk about that switch, when to turn it on, when to turn it off. I was kind of still had it on coming off the field, of course, with the way practice went. But that, like I said, that's not me. It'll never happen again. And to all you guys, like I said, I apologize. And not because it's hit social media, but it's because who I am. That's not my character. And I think from here on out, like I said, from that point, like I said, I spoke on about it. I'm ready to move forward.
That's a perfect way to handle it. He did a real. That was a good. Public apologies usually, you know, they're usually botched somewhere along the way. He took full responsibility. He explained the situation, which is that it's the hardest thing, especially during training camp when it's so freaking hot, and you're coming off of when there's a scuffle or there's agitation or something. There's no cooling off period. The press is right there and they're doing interviews with you, and it's the last thing you want to do. And obviously he wasn't being interviewed in that moment, but you're still in football mode and you're hot and you just want to get inside. Like that's stuff like that happens. So that was a genuine apology though. He said, hey, regardless of whether it was captured on camera or not, there's just the wrong way to act.
And after a game, you get 10, 15, 20, you don't even have to talk after a game. You know,
yeah.
You can go hide in the locker room if you want. Here's my question. Did you ever get into any sort of an altercation or a shouting match with a reporter when you played?
Yes.
With who?
I flipped out on a Chronicle reporter once, basically where she was trying to – I didn't flip out on her, but she was trying to ask me like a very nice question. I had made a speech after a loss in a season in which we'd end up going 2-14, but it was like, you know, six games into the losing streak. I'd given a speech to the team afterwards that apparently like a lot of some of the players really liked. So somebody talked about it to one of the media members, and they asked me about it the next day, and I was. It was one of those things where it was like it was presented in such a way that I could just see the story being written, that it was like one of these made for TV moments or something. And I just come out of watching film where we were just even worse. You know, usually they say it's never as bad as it seemed on film and it's never as good as it seemed when you watch the film. It was even way worse than it seemed at the time from that game. So I was just pissed. And I basically just told her, I was like, no, I'm not talking about this. No, listen, no, you're making too much out of it, all that stuff. And then I went back and apologized to her like 3 minutes later. I felt really, really bad about it. And then there was another one when Bo Corona, who, you know, Bo Corona, who works for our company now and has for a long time, he had come into the locker room and, you know, he's a music DJ, and he was coming to the locker room to do kind of like a goofy DJ, ask you 20 zany questions.
Oh, no.
And I think it might have been in that 2-14 season. I actually like legitimately kind of flipped out on him. He tells this story every time I see him. But he also includes in the story that I came back like 5 minutes later and gave him I genuinely felt awful about it. But it's like, yeah, when you actually really care about your job, it's hard sometimes to talk to people outside about why your team is sucking right now or anything else around it. And like your emotions are raw. If I had had social media at the time, I would have had to go on a complete. Yeah. I would have had to be zero dark 30 all the time on it. I wouldn't have been able to handle it. I would have flipped out way too often.
I do find it funny that somebody was trying to write a positive story about you. You're like, no, I'm not talking about this.
Yeah, no, it's both times I've ever flipped out on reporters, it's been in positive moments or where they're trying to give me a compliment or something. You're not approaching this with the gravity you should. Damn it. Do you understand the situation we're in?
So write bad stuff about you, and then that's when you'll give them the good stuff, is when they just want to rip you.
I'm ready for the bad stuff. If you're, you know, like if you're a good teammate, I always try to remember that. If you're being a good teammate, you can't, you owe it to your teammates not to care about what they're writing about you individually. You know, like, actually, one of the things that used to agitate me was when they would do stories out, because I was a nose tackle, that I was like the most underrated player on the team or unheralded or whatever. I'd be like, listen, you guys write enough of these stories that, frankly, I'm becoming overrated at this point. So, like, yeah, just stop writing about how I'm underrated, because I feel like I'm starting to get a little bit of like, well, he's not that underrated. So just lay off on the underrated stuff. I'm perfectly rated. Just let me fly under the radar.
All right, coming up next, Texans preseason opener tonight in Canton against the Bears. Who does this game matter the most for? We'll talk about that next on Payne and Pendergast on Sports Radio 610.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.